Hello, I'm Grant Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. It's our desire today that you be blessed and encouraged by today's message. I'll be back later to let you know how you can receive additional information on our ministry at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.
This morning I want to talk about ornament and vision. And I have a text in Exodus 33, verse 6. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. It's Mount Sinai. The children of Israel stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. You know, I'm going to write a little children's book called How to Debone a Dog. You know, if a dog has a bone and it's all he's ever had, and it may be dry and nasty to you, but it's all he has, it could be very dangerous to try to just reach over and take that bone. Have you ever tried to help someone be stripped of whatever issue they have or addiction they have, or you're going to help debone them, you're going to make them the Christian you know God wants them to be? Took you 20 years to get out of it, but you want them to get over it right now. Well, how not to debone a dog? Well, maybe you could use a loud noise, you know, blow one of those engine horns at the dog, and then he'll inadvertently drop the bone. Or maybe you could use a little charge of electricity, you know, next time he chews in the bone, you know, just a little tase, you know, that's a possibility. Maybe you could have a deboning device that's very elaborate. It'll grab the dog's hind end, and then while he's in shock, the little hands come down and pick up the bone. Or maybe you could do it God's way. Lay down a piece of prime rib in front of him, leave the room. He'll get it in his own mind to drop the bone if you give him a bigger vision. Sometimes you don't need any more discipline. Good God, look at how disciplined you are. Even in addiction, you're so disciplined to maintain it. It's discipline beyond anything I've ever seen. You don't need more discipline in life. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, you don't need more discipline to be stripped of the things that have held you back. You need a greater vision. Put the prime rib in front of the dog, and the dog is deboned miraculously. He didn't need to be yelled at, screamed at, rolled up newspaper, didn't need to be shocked, didn't need a sermon. You know, some of the folk in your life don't need another sermon. Remember Nancy Reagan, just say no? I remember we're in the bathroom and they just had little pads in the urinal said, just say no. I thought, wow, that's powerful. Just say no, I never thought of that. You know, sometimes you don't need any more discipline. I want to tell you a crazy story today. It's about the children of Israel. Let me just begin by telling you that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is a multi-generational God. Did you know he's not just dealing with you now, here? He's dealing with your entire generational family line that goes back hundreds of years. He's a God who will give promises 500 years in advance because time is not to him what it is to us. He created time. He's in control of time. He's above time. He's beyond time. He is not in time. We're on the timeline. Imagine you on a little line moving forward. You're on the timeline down here. You can only move forward. He's up like in a helicopter, above it, beyond it, in control of it. He's not in time. He's everywhere, everywhen. You're here now or there then. He's everywhere, everywhen. Time is nothing. Literally, it's no thing to him. So, you know, it's interesting. I was reading the scriptures recently, and two stories that come to mind. In Joshua 6:26, there was a little prophetic statement. Joshua said, after the destruction of Jericho, by the way, don't rebuild your Jerichos. Everything God's dismantling, don't try to rebuild them again. That's a sidebar. I'm going to have a bunch of sidebars for you today. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua said, anyone who tries to rebuild this city, their oldest son will be killed, will die. When they lay the foundation, the youngest son will die when they hang the gates. That doesn't sound politically correct. Did Joshua have a bad day? Guess what? 500 years later, in 1 Kings 16:34, a guy named Hiel, bad ring to it, lays the foundation of the city of Jericho, and his firstborn, Abiram, dies. And when he hangs the gates, his littlest son, Segub, dies. It's almost 550 years after the fact. I mean, who was around to go, oh, yes, Joshua chapter 6, I remember. I wish we knew more Bible so we look more impressive in our culture. Why, that prophecy is only given 550 years ago. Loved one, God promises and his word remains and stands forever. And look at our twice as old as our country. There's another interesting one. I'm going to throw this out. I want you to see that God is a God of his promise. And it embraces more than just you here now and this that you're praying about. Lord, if you we're any given moment, we're praying God remove something from us or give something to us. And God goes, every prayer I answer is in line with everything I've been doing in your family line for 500 years. Here's another one. This is just a sidebar. In 1 Kings 13, 1 and 5, there was a man named Jeroboam, a wicked king, the king of the northern tribes of Israel. And a prophet comes up to him when he is worshiping his false gods at an altar of false worship. And the prophet says, oh, by the way, there's a young man named Josiah who's going to be born one day, and he's going to offer human bones on that altar to defile it, and that altar is going to be wiped out. And Jeroboam went to hurt him, and his arm froze. Did you know? And Jeroboam went, please pray to the Lord that my arm unfreeze. You know, wouldn't it be nice to see some arms freezing up? I don't know. It's just me. But 500 years after this prophecy, a king named Josiah comes along to that very altar and he says, we got to defile this thing. Dig up all the bones on the over there on that hill and burn them on the altar. 500 years later. And then he looks and says, and who's that tomb right there? They said, that's the tomb of the man of God that prophesied this 500 years ago. He said, God bless him. God bless you for speaking the word of the Lord over somebody. Josiah said, leave his bones alone. He's all right. And I'm going to pray God have some folk leave your bones alone right now for a while. But I want to talk today about something so incredible. For 400 years, the children of Israel have been in Egyptian bondage. Have you seen the Exodus, Gods and Kings, about to come out, Ridley Scott's film? Don't worry. Your pastor's got a whole series. Before you can see the 10 plagues with all the special effects, we'll go through enough of them here. But I just want you to see something today about God. After 400 years of servitude, four generations, generation that reckoned about 100 years, God brought the children of Israel out as he told them he would, but he brought them out, very strange prophecy. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 14, Abraham, this is 500 years again, God speaks to him and he says, Abraham, know of a surety that your seed will go into a land where they are strangers. They will be persecuted and serve there for 400 years. But I will bring them out richer than when they went in. Loved one, you are coming out of the darkness of your life with things you never had before. You cannot, as a child of God, go down to Egypt into darkness and not come out with things better than you went in with. I'm here to tell you today, God is not just the God of the gifts. He's the one that gives you every gift, but he is the one that in due course would rather have you stripped of all your talents, gifts, and abilities so that his presence can shine, that the gifts of God would give place to the God of the gifts. We are serving a God who has been working in your family line, and you may not understand sometimes why your prayers are answered or they're not answered. He is answering everything in concert with the complicated work that he can't even explain to you. We always want to know, explain to me, Lord. We're like a dog trying to conceive the universe. Finite minds, pea brains. Couldn't if he wanted to, by definition. That's why you got to wait to heaven. There's one word in heaven. Oh!
When I get to heaven, God's going to get to the bar of justice and he's going to answer for some things.
Oh. Never mind. That's what we're going to be saying.
You explain to me what...
Oh, we'll know as we've been known. We'll see the whole picture. Loved one, just because the car is on the conveyor belt and isn't yet finished doesn't mean it's never going to be a car just because it isn't one right now. Let the conveyor belt go on. You read the first chapter of a book and say, I don't get it. I don't understand. Finish the book. Read the next 12 chapters. It all makes sense. Loved one, for 400 years, they have known nothing but bondage, four entire generations. But God says in Exodus 3:21, as the bondage is giving way to light, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Exodus 11:3, the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. God is ready to bring you out of your bondage full, not empty. But he's going to do it in ways that may look a little questionable. 400 years of servitude and abuse. Did you know that God can pay back one generation in one day all the full price of 400 years of bondage of that extended family issue, all those extended roots in your family of origin? Did you know that settling on one generation in your family can be the payback? As they're ready to leave, God gives the Egyptians an irritable sense. They want these people gone. The 10 plagues have passed over. They want them out. But they want to give them everything they have. Now imagine this, a slave that's never had anything one day, the next day decked out in Tiffany finery. They're not only going to leave Egypt, but they're going to bring things out they never took in. But I want you to see something. God enriches his people with ornaments as they're leaving. Exodus 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Finally, they're going to be free. Finally, they're going out. Finally, it's over. But God says, I'm going to bedeck one generation in time for 400 years of bondage. Did you know there's a lot going on in your family line and you're going to get the reward for it? Think about it. The children of Israel were in Egypt, but when they came out, they were promoted and they were more blessed by what they'd received in darkness. When Daniel comes out of the lion's den, he is promoted. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the furnace of fire, they're promoted. When Christ our Lord comes out of the tomb, he's raised triumphantly from the dead, and he's promoted. What you're coming out of, you will never go back into again, and you will be bedecked with new blessings and ornaments that will come through favor. Isn't that crazy favor? The Egyptians say, here's my Rolex, get out. Here's my Armani outfit, get out. And these people that have had nothing are wearing nose rings, toe rings, finger rings. It's the craziest thing ever. Slaves going out of bondage, decked out. Sup? You can raise your hands in worship over that, can't you? How great is this ring? Look at this. It's a crazy picture. They've never had anything in their lives, and now they have everything in a day. 400 years of bondage are paid up in one day. I'm telling some people here, you've got to be open to receive blessing because it may not have anything to do with you. It may be a recompense God is giving you in this time right now for what your family line has been through for hundreds of years. Are you willing to say yes and accept it? What if God came up to you and said, you know, I want to give you a lump sum of blessing, and it's all because of favor, but let's say I calculate that you've been working for me for the last 30 years at $500 an hour. Say you're an attorney of note. And I'm going to pay you $500 an hour for all your work for the last 30 years, and I'm going to pay it in one lump sum. Who will say no? Well, I don't know. If it's the Lord, I don't want dirty money. I don't want loved one. Listen. God's about to show favor to his people. He's about to release blessings, but they're going to look suspicious in the way they arrive. Look at it. The children of Israel are leaving. They don't like the Egyptians. They've been abused by the Egyptians, but those who have persecuted them are now going to reward them with such favor. But guess what form it's going to take? Gold and silver and linen from the cursed fallen earth through a now cursed people, Egypt, in strange forms. The gold wasn't just in ingots. It was in statues and idols.
I'm not taking no gold in the form of Osiris, the god of the underworld.
Give me. My name's Jimmy. I'll take your blood. Give me your gold.
That's Bastet. That's the cat goddess. Loved one, it was all suspicious looking.
The silver was in the form of their false gods. The silver was not with a cross on it, you know. Hey, praise God. I'll take it. He made them take provision that looked suspicious. Did you know why a religious spirit is going to be the greatest attacking force of this next outpouring of God? Because a religious spirit will never touch anything that's questionable. Ever.
No. Goddess of Egypt will soil my hands.
I'll take it. As you melt it down, honey, gold is gold. We're going to find out God is going to use this gold, whatever shape it's in, the silver, whatever shape it's in, to make the tabernacle, which is the precursor of the temple of God. Eventually, they will willingly give of these items, the linen, the silver, the gold, to build God's house. But look at, it's from the cursed earth after Adam's fall. It's from the cursed Egyptians that are now saying, please leave. God bless you. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? And they're giving all their gold and silver and all their jewels to people that have had nothing. Can you imagine these people with their sleds going into the desert? Oh, look at these jewels. Oh, my God. Sometimes you've been without for so long that you're going to look like one of these bedecked children of Israel coming out of the desert. Is this really all right? Or are we going to be struck dead by God? Is he faking us out? I've got a sled. I got more gods than you do. Look at. I have every representative of the Egyptian gods here in my sled. Loved one, it looks suspicious sometimes when God makes the Egyptians have favor for you, but don't turn it away. We went through a phase in the church world. It was just another round of lunacy where everybody said, if it's old, burn it. These people would come with a spiritual knowing look into your house, and if there was something from the past, there's a spirit on it. We'll take it from you and take it to the altar so that our ministry will dispose of it. I'm not kidding. If something was old, they figured, there's a demon in that frog. Look at the way it's looking at me. Break that ceramic frog with a hammer. No unclean thing shall touch my hands. Well, the children of Israel couldn't get that thing. A religious spirit will never take anything that looks suspicious. But did you know when Elijah the prophet has to depend on food every day, the Bible says God used a dirty bird, a raven, to bring him meat every day. I wonder what that meat was. Was it kosher? I don't know. Have you ever seen what they eat? The point is, God will use a dirty bird to bless you. He'll have an atheist come in. Say, I don't know what it is, but do you need $1 million? He'll use a dirty bird to bless you. And the Egyptians are giving silver and gold in questionable forms to the children of Israel. I'm sure there's some fool that said, I'm not touching that. Go ahead. I'll take it. Put it on my sled. I'm too old now. I will take anything God gives me with his blessing on it. Thank you very much. I'm going to have the biggest sled. I'm going to have a big old hat on. I'm going to be carrying bags with all. Now, look at this. So they're bedecked with all this stuff. Now, you're going to see the Ridley Scott film, but what you're not probably going to notice is these people were decked down with ornaments they'd never had before. And they're going to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh not only wants them, he wants his stuff back because they just plundered the entire nation. The slave force is gone. All the gold and silver and linen is gone. Pharaoh is a little peeved about this. And the devil is so peeved that you might wake up to who you are and come out of darkness with stuff that you never had before when you went in. Genesis 15:14, God said to Abraham, know of a surety your seed. But I love how he said to Abraham, and I want to speak this word. This is a sidebar too. God said to Abraham, honey, your seed's going to go into bondage for 400 years, but in the fourth generation, after 400 years, they will come out richer, but you are going to go to your fathers in great peace. Did you know some of you, it's a word of peace for you. Let the young folk go through some stuff. I love how he said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm showing you this vision, sweetheart. And he's in the darkness of night, laying down completely before God. And the scripture says there's a lantern of light and an oven that's smoking. And God says to him, he says, baby, your seed's in a lot of trouble, but you're going to go to your father's and full of years and blessed. Whew. Thank God. Did you know Isaiah 57:1 sometimes says that he takes the righteous to spare them from the days to come? What's so bad about going home to be with the Lord? If he's going to spare you tension and more distress, Abraham was told, your seed's in a lot of trouble. Now, this is 500 years previous to the event. What's this 500-year thing? And our country is so old. We are a hiccup in terms of world history. Compared to Egypt, 4,000 years of human history, we're not even a pip, that's it. And look at your little life in the midst of all this. Beep. But you know what? God has you as a major piece of the ongoing terms of his multi-generational work. Now, listen. Are you willing to receive full payment in your generation, a lump sum for the suffering of your entire family line? See, I believe, I mentioned it last week, I think the gifts of God are being eclipsed by the God of the gifts. That's what I believe is happening. That's what I believe is happening. That God is about to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think, not because of our strength or our talent or our ability, but because it's just time. You know, it says in the fourth generation they would come out. Exodus chapter 6, verse 16 says, Levi went in, second generation, Kohath, third generation, Amram, fourth generation, Moses and Aaron, the sons of Amram. Exactly when God said they would come out, they came out. And God has set a date for your deliverance, and it will not go by without fulfillment. Loved one, sometimes, did you know why they were in there for 400 years? Sometimes we think, if you could just explain it to me, God, then I would feel better. Oh, absolutely not. Genesis 15, 14 says, your seed will go into great bondage because the wickedness of the Amorites is not yet full. It's complicated. Your deliverance sometimes is kept because God is showing mercy to people you don't even know. The Amorites were the name given for all the hosts of the Canaanites who were a blot on history, an absolute stain of unrighteousness on the earth. God wiped out his folk once with a flood because of the murderous reality of everyone murdering everyone. Guess what? God said, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan have not yet filled up the full portion. I'm going to show them mercy, if you don't mind, Abraham. And I'm going to even have my own people suffer a little bit longer, because God is not sloth concerning his promises, but is so merciful he wants no one to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. He was willing to let the Canaanite inhabitants of the land live 400 extra years so that he would extend his mercy, his kindness, and forgiveness, to which we respond, just wipe them out. What kind of a God are you? Like Richard Dawkins says, are you a sadistic masochist? He is so slow to anger and patient that he said, I'll let my people stay in bondage. They belong to me. They're going to survive this and come out with something they didn't even go in with. But I'm showing some mercy to some people in your life you have no idea about. It's more complicated than you think. I want an answer right now. No, you don't. He's extending mercy somewhere. That's why you're not free yet. Shh. Now, I usually answer all my kids' questions, but there gets a point where sometimes I want a little trust. Just a little bit.
Well, how come we had to go?
Have a look. Should be able to dismantle a clock. It's just a look. When it's not time to question Daddy, they get the look. You've got one too. I mean, there are seasons for answering questions, but there are other seasons where God goes, you can't understand. It's too complicated. I've got a whole host of folk that I'm trying to show mercy to, and just don't ask me. I'll tell you later. You're coming out, but you're coming out in the fourth generation. But you're coming out with stuff you never went in with. It's almost over. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, and you're going to come out richer. Now, look at this site. A nation of slaves bedecked with ornaments. And people are going to look at you too and say, "Don, they look a little crazy. Look at them. I can't believe it. I never thought they'd get out of anything." Yeah, but you're going to get out with a funny hat. It'll be so heavy, you'll be walking funny. That was crazy. Can you imagine the crazy praise going on in there? They're out 400. They don't care what the Egyptians say. Give me your gold. Give me your silver. It says they went and knocked on the door and said, "Give me everything in the house." And the Egyptians went, "Sure, here's your hat. What's your hurry? Go right on. Okay. God bless you. God bless you." Sometimes folk want you out so bad, they'll give you everything they have to get you out. And you just keep, just like ornamenting a Christmas tree, just keep decking it on. Bring it here. Put it in the offering. We'll take it. I don't want dirty money. As soon as my hand touches it, it is clean and called to God's ministry in Jesus' name. You go bring it on in here. Religious spirit. I won't touch a gold statue of Osiris. I will. We're going to be smelting and melting, and Tom will set up something where you can just melt that all down. You know why we don't see more of the ancient world? Because idiots were taking all of the beautiful statues of Rome and throwing them into lime pits to melt them down to make nothing. Oh, we'll take the rubies you believe are cursed. I'm not kidding. There were ministries that used to come in, and if they looked at something 200 years old on your wall, they'd say, give it to us. Now, what did they ever do with it? They went and sold it on the market, made top dollar. Just saying. So I did it, though. I got it, to be honest with you. I did it once. It was 1979, and I was 20. And a very famous actor invited me into his house, and this whole movement had been going on, and he said, Craig, do you sense anything in this house that's got evil in it? I thought, what? He goes, well, there's a new movement. People that are really spiritually sensitive can see stuff that's not right. And I looked right over his fireplace just to a random wooden horse collage, and I said, that. Throw that in the fire. And he did. He took it right off and threw it in the fire. And I remember going, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. I did it. I'm sorry. You don't have to forgive me. God has. I don't care what you think. I just didn't want to look stupid. So I said, yeah, throw. I should have said, throw the littlest kid in the fire. You know, it's like, oh, heaven's sakes. Well, it is a bit of a problem. Loved one. There are no demons. I collect ancient Roman coins. There are no demons in the coins. See, some of you won't touch something that's a favorable blessing because you have a religious spirit. It's okay. We'll take it. All right. Now, listen real quick. Listen real quick. I'm going to close this up, but oh, my, my. Won't it be nice to see you a little bit crazy? Happy, just happy. Saw somebody at the mall the other day. They were just so happy. Sometimes you just got to go to the mall and see a movie or do something outside your little bubble to realize there's a wider world out. There's a bigger world. Praise God. We're his people. We should be the happiest folk. We should be the people that are the most normal to be around and spend time with, even if we look a little crazy with our gold and silver and linen. Mm-hmm. You know, we call it eternalizing the moments. Have you ever just savored a moment? I went out the other night and I got a coffee and I sat. It just takes so little to please me. It's just almost insane, you know. It's got to be either demonic or a sign of God's work in my life. But you just give me a cup of coffee and put me in the mall and I just go, oh, I'm in a comfortable chair. Oh, look at all the people. Oh, and I'm happy with that. I don't even know what I would do if someone came up and said, you want a Rolex? God told me to give you my Rolex. Huh? What? Someone's nice to me? What? Come on, we got to shake this off. We got to get more into gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, my name's Kimmy. What if God wants to show favor to you? What if he wants to use the people that have persecuted you to pay you off, to get you out? Take it. Take it, because guess what? The stuff that came from the cursed earth through and now cursed people were going to be melted down and used to build the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant. I just hurt my hand. The Ark of the Covenant. That little golden box that Indiana Jones was interested in was made of a pure acacia wood, indestructible humanity, overlaid with gold, the symbol of deity, and containing the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron that budded, the symbol of resurrection, the pot of manna that represented Christ, the very bread from heaven. The Ark of the Covenant was made of gold that came from the cursed earth through the Egyptians who were cursed to the hands of the people of God, melted down to build the holiest symbol of God's presence on earth. Don't tell me God can't take anything. He took the loaves and took them and he blessed them and he broke them and he gave them. It was holy. Oh boy. Come on now. If I could shout, I might shout right now. I've got so many sidebars. Could be the fourth generation for you. I think, thank God, we even have a limited knowledge of, you know, you go to the genealogical thing and say, I want to find out who my family is. Sometimes there's so many monkeys in your tree, God does not want you to see it. Because it would mess you up so bad going back 100 years, 100 years, 200 years, what? You know, you don't need to know what you don't need to know. It's not, all knowledge doesn't illumine you. Some knowledge would tie you up further. My great-grandfather was a what? What was his name? Dexter? I don't understand. You don't need to know what you don't need to know. You don't need to know the immorality, corruption, and the horror in your family line. Just say, Lord, thank you. You have mercifully blinded my eyes. Did you know that there's a mystery to mercy? Sometimes you don't need to know everything. I'm praying for you to see one thing. If you've forgotten everything I've said right now, listen to this. The children of Israel now have ornaments. They now have things they never had before. But did you know how quick we can get associated with earthly things? Did you know how quick a garment, money, stuff can tie us down and hold us back? But do you know how God got the ornaments off of them? Because we open with Exodus 33:6 that they shed their ornaments at Horeb, Mount Sinai. They wore all that stuff, and they wore the nose rings and the thumb rings and the hand rings all the way through the Red Sea, all the way to Marah where they complained against the Lord and cursed his name, all the way to Mount Sinai. The way God got those ornaments off of them was to not threaten them. Sometimes you want to take the bone from the dog. It's the only thing he's ever had. Don't do that. Don't do that. First of all, no one died and left you Holy Ghost. You're not the Holy Spirit. You don't have to debone anyone. You don't have to be lording over anyone in your life. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not manipulative. He's not controlling ever. He's gracious, but he's effective at convicting. They wore all these garments and got a little attached to them. You know, when it's all you've ever had, it's hard to give it up, isn't it? Some of you have stuff, and your stuff is all you've ever had. It's all, you can taste it, smell it, touch it. That's the interesting thing about the concept of tithing or giving. Isn't it interesting? What they did with the first dictated what happened to the rest. Before they knew if their field was even going to come in, they took those little hula hoops they'd thrown out when they were sowing the seed, and they found them, and they cut the sheaves down, and they bundled them together in a tenth, and they came forth as a wave offering before the Lord, and they said, Lord, this is the first. We don't even know if we're going to eat beyond this, but we trust you because you're the God of the field, and we don't trust the landscape. We trust the God who's given his word. Here's the first portion. Sometimes, if it doesn't have a pinch, it's not a tithe. What does the Bible say about giving? It says something like, oh, I could have paid two bills with that. If there isn't a in it, it's probably not 10%. An offering is just anything. You know, that was a good message. I'm giving $27.95. That's what I'm giving. Praise God. That was good. I like that part in the middle. I don't remember any of it, but it was good. Someone greeted me at the door not long ago and said, they said, Pastor, that was amazing. I said, well, what did I talk about? They said, I don't know, but it was fantastic. It's profound. I had a seminary professor who said he gave his first lecture and he used every word he could. He said teleological and cosmological and heuristic. He used every word he could. And a young woman came up and said, oh, that was profound, sir. She goes, I didn't understand a word of it. But it was, he went, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, no. It was profound. Very profound. Oh, isn't God, he's so much clearer than we would be in his name. In order to remove the gifts of God, in order to take the ornaments off, which they now needed to give up, he took them to Mount Sinai and he gave them a bigger vision. I close where I began. Loved one, you don't need more discipline. You need a bigger vision. People who won an Olympic award of gold for swimming don't have to be told you shall not drink a bottle of Jack Daniels every day. You shall not eat Twinkies all day. You shall not. They don't need thou shalt not list because they have a vision and a dream so big that they don't even think about that. It's not that they're not human, but they have a vision so big they just don't eat and drink stuff. They don't need a commandment, a 12-step group. They don't need it. See, their vision is so big that their yes to the vision says no to everything else. You don't need any more discipline. You need a bigger vision. That's my prayer for you today, a bigger vision. They were taken to Mount Sinai, and it says they removed all their ornaments at Sinai because God showed himself to them. Isn't that beautiful? The gifts of God were nice, but the God of the gifts looked them in the eye and they said, nothing matters anymore. Do you know when you see him for who he is, you go, nothing matters. One day we will see him. Did you know the Bible says no man has seen God at any time? It's called the beatific vision. Once you behold an infinite good, you can never see evil again. Adam and Eve didn't have the beatific vision or they couldn't have fallen. The angels didn't have the beatific vision of God or they couldn't have fallen. Well, what did they have? They had a perfect environment, but they're free moral agents. See? Your whole life, God says, you want to see me? And you go, yeah. He goes, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You sure? You want to see me? Because once you behold an infinite good, you can never see evil again. Someone always says, Pastor Craig, can someone screw up in heaven and we start this fall business all over again? You ever thought about that? Especially with you going to heaven right now at this moment? That's a big question I get all the time. Guess what? No. That's never going to happen again. You know why? Because when you say yes to him, it is a fair, free, fixed, but final decision. Your whole life, he says, you want to see me? You sure? You want to see me? And then we go, yes. He goes, okay. And then when we get to eternity, we will be able to behold his glory fully and completely. But we can never, once you see an infinite blast of good, you can never see evil again. No one's ever going to fall again. It's called fulfilled freedom, like in marriage, right? Fair, free, fixed, final. You're not free to date anyone else. You know what I mean? You've literally picked one woman. Again, there's 7 billion people on the planet, so you've said no to billions of women by committing to one. It's the same way heaven's going to be. We will behold his essence absolutely and completely one day, and woo, it's going to be wonderful. But no one can screw up after that. This world is not the best of all possible worlds, but it's the best way to the best of all possible worlds. You will see him. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you will behold the essence of the Lord. They only saw, as the Bible says, his afterparts. They only saw his glory, his tangible glory. And that was enough to get them to disrobe and remove every ornament, every bit of gold, every Armani suit, every Rolex. Loved one, when you see the God of the gifts of God take their proper place and you willingly strip them off and you never look at them the same again. Did you know that? I'm praying for you today in Jesus' name. Come on up. I'm praying for you to receive a greater vision right now. You don't need any more discipline. You've got so much discipline. Look at what you've done in your life. Look at what you've stopped doing in your life. You've got a heck of a lot more discipline than you realize. The next move of God does not require you doing something else. Giving up something else. It has to do with seeing a greater vision where you can relax and rest. You can say, oh my God, you are altogether lovely, and every bit of you rests and relaxes. And you willingly take off rings and watches and shoes and clothes and anything that you've been bedecked with. The God of the gifts shows his face. The gifts of God fall into their proper perspective. Loved one, he loves you. He wants you. He wants your heart. He's not after your cigarettes. He's not after your alcohol. He's after your heart. You see, if he gets your heart, he's got everything. He's got everything. Peace at the center will drive out everything else. When he sits on the throne of your heart, his very glory presses all things out that no longer have a place to sit. I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus Christ for vision to dawn as the sun rising on you right now in the name of the Lord. I'm praying that the sun, and the sun is not setting for you, it's rising for you. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, as the sun rises upon my precious, precious brother and sister, that they will begin to see by your light a vision they have never had before for their talents, their gifts, their abilities, their relationship, their family, this world. Lord, let light begin to permeate everyone under the sound of my voice right now, a bigger vision. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that we will be open in our spirits to receive blessings that may look a little bit questionable sometimes or may come in forms that we normally would have rejected. We want to be an open people. Lord, you used Nebuchadnezzar to bless your people. You used Cyrus to send them back to the temple, and you still fed Elijah with a dirty bird. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're willing to take your gold and your silver and your linen, whatever form it may be in right now. We open our hand to receive freely from you. God bless you. Heads bowed and eyes closed right now. Dear one, God loves you. He's not angry with you. His anger was poured out upon his son at the cross. He loves you. He holds his arms out openly to you. And the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him and he with me." All it takes is just you surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ right now. It's just saying, "Yes, okay, come in." That's it. And he will rush in with grace, forgiveness, truth, love, and transformation. Just open your little heart. Just unlock the door and open the thing and say, "Come in, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins, Lord Jesus." And for those of you that know him and love him and you've served him all these many years, it's time to say, "Give me a greater vision. Let it come in now. Let the vision come in. Let the vision come in. Let the vision come in Jesus' name." Thank you, Lord. We thank you that we will gladly be stripped of all things if we have you. And all God's people said, amen. Can you give him praise for just a minute? Give him praise right now for this word. Bless his holy name.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.net. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider including us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of faithful listeners like yourself. And also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you.